Hello, Kathleen Ann here, and welcome to SOS, Simplicity of Soul. It's a beautiful, sunny afternoon here in Florida. We've just finished weathering a couple of nasty storms, but I'll tell you what, we're back on track, and I have been eager to get back to this podcast. Now, this is my second podcast, and as I mentioned in the first, this presentation is almost 40 years in the making, because my experience back in the 1970s not only was too far-reaching for most people to accept, but telling my story left others uncomfortable with me. I was still confused about the relevancy of my encounter, and I learned quickly that becoming emotional and tearful when trying to explain this exquisite and unusual experience didn't always sit well with my listeners. So I stopped talking openly and only shared my story with a select few. Well, I've come a long way since then. I realize now that what I have to share is far more important than anyone's opinion of me. And with the state of the world today, I don't have the luxury of choice anymore. I actually feel like now I am driven to share what I've come to realize is the one unifying factor that can literally increase our well-being, protect our planet's ecosystem, and actually, if understood and employed properly, open the floodgates for each of us to tap our talents, contribute to the world, and in return, create abundance in every facet of our lives. Do you think that sounds like a tall order? Well, actually, it's not. Soul thinking is why we were born, and it's far more easy than you think. Now, let me start with why I titled this podcast with the acronym SOS, for Simplicity of Soul. SOS in Morse code means save our ship, or save our souls. And I believe that soul thinking will quote unquote save us. Simplicity of Soul explains soul thinking, which simplifies our approach to life. Actually, with soul thinking, we celebrate ourselves and we celebrate others and our planet. Soul thinking is humanity's answer to who we truly are and why we are really here. And most exciting, soul thinking is so very simple. Now, as I shared in podcast one, back in 1979, my mother took me and several of my siblings on a surprise road trip that ended in a Catholic church in Worcester, Massachusetts, where I experienced an incredible contact with whom I believe was the Holy Spirit. I know that sounds crazy, but to hear the full story, please, I ask you to listen to podcast one, where I tell the story in depth and realize that this is not, and this is so important, this is not a discussion based on the Catholic religion. I claim no religious denomination in telling this story at all, so please stick with me here. And today I want to explore further how fear and our chaotic ego stop us from using the power of our soul. So let me continue with the story. As the years progressed, I constantly thought about this encounter. It was never far from my mind. And in doing so, the years gave me the generous gift of becoming less emotional. My consciousness awakened to better recognize that I had experienced existence exclusively through my soul, and that not only was it unbelievably cool, but that I saw that my soul is a constant presence within me. It is singularly separate, but it resides within me. I realize that while we all may know we have a soul, we may not completely acknowledge or understand its purpose within us. It's just like an organ of the body, like your heart or your lungs or your stomach. The more I concentrated on my soul, the more I realized how my senses reacted with excitement, you know, to things in nature or the sound of another person's voice, the sweetness of an inhaled breath, and the connections I had with others by looking into their eyes. Now, when I was a kid, I often felt like something was missing in my life. Well, this encounter showed me the something that was missing. I realized that I was missing the conscious connection with my soul. And I know it sounds weird that I felt like that as a kid, but I was a strange kid. I remember like being 4 years old and being really aware of everybody around me and what they needed and wanted to make sure everybody was happy. So I guess it's just me. But once my soul connected with this source, I glimpsed absolute sublime perfection formed as a living dynamic energy with infinite intelligence, innocence, and you know, I'm pulling these words out of my head, but I can't even describe the perfection that I witnessed. And I just, it felt so familiar and it made me so happy. But what I believe I glimpsed was the source of creation. And this source, which I became so acutely aware, translates to you and me. I finally understood that our souls open the floodgates to endless possibilities. Why? Because our souls are a connection to the source of creation. We have been unable to recognize this fact on so many levels because fear dominates today's world. Fear paralyzes positive productivity. And when we shift to soul thinking, fear disappears. And when fear disappears, curiosity arises and excitement takes fear's place. With fear extinct from the human condition, creation will become the norm. Yes, you heard me right. When we consciously awaken to the existence of our souls, we become aware of our connection to everything and everyone we see and cannot see. With fear removed, we become comfortable knowing that what we cannot understand will eventually become clear. With soul thinking, seeking knowledge eventually bears truth. We are not meant to be solitary beings. You know that, and I know that. And soul thinking gathers us to each other because we all have inborn gifts we are meant to share with each other to enjoy our existence. Now, to understand and use this inborn gift of our soul, which we already possess, that's the easy part. To understand and use it is to unleash the power to be who we were born to be. And as I said, once this awareness opens and fear diminishes, our curiosity heightens. We become more inclined to celebrate ourselves and everyone in our life. Individuality suddenly doesn't separate us from each other, but it outlines the unique piece of each of us that fits the entire tapestry of creation. This new awareness from the soul actually binds us to each other. Where our soul is our spiritual light source, it awakens our awareness to the earth as our physical life source. The earth is our playground, our nurturer, and our performing stage. With soul thinking, we understand that the earth evolved to perfectly suit our physical needs with all the proper elements for life. And likewise, with soul thinking, we understand that the earth serves our spiritual needs by offering her flawless and magnificent beauty to leave us in awe. Isn't that cool? Now, how does one begin soul thinking? Simply and easily. First, simply accept the fact that your soul exists. Think of the soul as another organ of the body, like I said earlier, like your heart or your lungs. Sit quietly for a moment and probe inwards. And you can even say, "Hello, soul, I'm here for you." And I would not be surprised if you felt a tingling throughout your body as you greet your soul and it ignites at your recognition. Now, with your heart and lungs, you feel a pulse and an inhaled breath. You know your body is quartered with nerve endings and veins. And we've seen tons of medical studies to prove the existence of electrochemical activity in the body. But we cannot visibly see this process. Well, the same is with the soul. We cannot see the soul. So the soul has been little attended, except through religion and mysticism, and that perception has not always been correct. What most of us don't understand is that our soul exists for use now, just as our organs exist for use now. Our souls are connected to our life source of creation, giving us endless possibilities which manifest as thought. Since we cannot see this source and there's been no scientific proof, we tend to believe the soul or its power as a tool does not exist. And that's where faith comes in. Do you remember Kevin Costner's movie, A Field of Dreams? You know, when that voice whispered, "If you build it, they will come." Well, the same is with your soul. If you believe it, the soul will respond. Our soul is the spiritual organ within us that grants access to power far greater than our intellect can carry us. Simply put, our soul is our conduit to God, the source of our creation, and continues to remain open to us as a source for creating. Please, let me be clear. This is not a religious statement. This is merely a fact of truth that was given to me in a moment of fear. And whether you do or do not choose to accept the truth of the soul as our umbilical cord to God or creation does not matter. Should one choose to continue life unaware of the soul's existence, the soul's just going to continue to exist. It'll just remain untapped as a source of energy, but it will return to source at the end. There's no other way. Energy, once created, cannot be destroyed. And we were created. Look down at your hands and see. There you are. Now, if you choose to become aware of your soul, you will feel it come alive. You will feel calmer. And actually, fear will begin to evaporate. You may become bolder in your decisions and more confident. Our souls shimmer with the essence of our ability to channel love and create using our chosen talents. And this source, through our soul, remains open to us in our waking lives and in our dreams. This untapped energy is endless. Soul thinking does things like turn competition into co-creating, bigotry into curiosity, anger into compassion, and envy into the delight at recognizing someone else's ability to create. The more used, the more soul thinking opens our awareness with fearless strength and unbounded joy. Does this make sense to you? God, I hope so. Let's continue. So what I learned to be the first single most important point of my experience is that you and I are the product of complete unbridled love. Secondly, I learned the futility of that stupid, and yes, I said stupid, four-letter word, fear. Fear initiated my encounter with this being, and fear silenced me for all those years after seeing the adverse reaction that folks had to me. I had no one to turn to, so I clammed up. And it took years for me to finally grasp the experience in its entirety. And now I'm no longer afraid, and I'm actually embarrassed that it took me so long to speak up. And I declare completely and wholeheartedly that fear is the biggest scam on earth. Let's go a little deeper. Now, what if fear was eliminated from our existence? Yeah. Do you think it's impossible? I tend to think the possibility exists. Sure, as an evolved species, we've got the flight or flight instinct. It rests really deeply embedded in our DNA. And people suffer from phobias and fears that, you know, I just don't even want to discuss here. But where fear was a tool we used as evolving humans to stay alive, consider this. What if we, as a species, have finally evolved enough that fear can be eliminated as a tool for our existence? I'm not discounting common sense reactions to danger. That's different. But the approach to danger, natural and man-made, can now be approached with a sense of fearlessness. And this is why. During my encounter, I understood right down to my core that fear does not exist at all for the being who connected with me. And I know you may say, well, of course, you know, that might have been God. Or you can say, okay, it was God. Why should he be afraid of anything? But consider this. Just as you are created from your parents' genetic makeup, you know, she has her mother's eyes, he has his father's disposition. Well, so are we created from the stuff of the universe, or from our Creator. And if he is fearless, then it is within us to be the same. I believe that fear not only halts our forward motion to success, peace, and happiness, but once more, I suggest that fear exists as the biggest scam on our planet. Fear is the brainchild of our ego, and the ego is another invisible force within us that functions primarily for our primitive survival. And the ego's goal? To keep an individual safe from danger at all costs. even at the expense of others. The ego triggers this primal protection mechanism by instilling fear in each of us. Even now, when it is virtually no longer needed, the ego is working overtime, and fear manifests itself in a broad spectrum from raw reaction to the most sophisticated of thinking. I believe that we as humans have evolved enough to rely less on the ego and more on our souls. It's time to remove chaos caused by the ego and create perfection from our souls. Now again, I'm not talking about fear of falling or fear of fire. Those are instinctual and intelligent responses to keep our bodies safe and whole. I'm talking about fear of knowledge, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of the unknown, fear of a stranger, the dark, spiders, flying. You get my drift. What began as an instinctual survival method has morphed into a way of life. Why? Because the ego, just as the soul, is a living entity within us that wishes to survive. The ego is another precious tool that helps us recognize our unique selves, our talents, our dreams, our goals, our desires. Only we have given our egos free rein and they have run amok. The ego as a living entity, unlike the soul, will survive at the cost of your happiness. And it usually does. The ego stays alive and grows stronger by separating us from our souls, by separating us from ourselves and from each other. Where the soul sees the planet as a living extension of ourselves, the ego views the planet as this inexhaustible resource for one's own need and pleasure. The ego makes us feel separated and alone, creating the craving to be connected to somebody else. The ego is our worst critic. It builds us up and knocks us down with self-doubt. It keeps us grasping at love and happiness and wealth and success, but it leaves us empty when we've achieved these goals. And that is because we use our egos and our intellect to achieve our needs without employing our souls. The soul is the third wall to our triangle of perfection. Now understand this. As gentle as the soul is, it steps aside to accommodate the overactive ego. Think of the ego as like the loudest person in the room. Now think of the soul as the person in the room with the most impeccable manners. Where the soul recognizes free will, the ego does not. Actually, the greatest battle you will have in employing soul thinking will be in reining in your ego to even acknowledge that the soul exists. In order to employ soul thinking, your ego will have to learn to respect your will. The ego will have to learn to be quiet. And the ego has no plans of letting go until you demand that it remain still. Now, once again, don't get me wrong. The ego, also a creation of God, is beneficial for us. It helps us recognize our inner talents. It helps foster our intelligence with the drive to achieve. But the ego became more important than the soul because it delivers tangible results through the emotion, logic, and intellect. The actions of the ego bring material wealth, intellectual achievement, and self-esteem. But without employing the soul, the ego sets us apart. The ego makes one person more important than another. The ego invites vices that keep society in chaos, like greed and avarice and envy and bigotry and lust and violence, to name a few. You have to realize all of these vices are sources of fear. The science of psychology took time to prove the ego's existence, so the ego is accepted. The soul and its power as a human factor goes unrecognized because it hasn't been detected and because, well, goodness is usually taken for granted. And since the soul's existence cannot be proven for now, only faith and trust make it so. Now here is where fear is a scam. In order to thrive, the ego uses fear as the most potent form to keep us and itself safe. The ego whispers the heady belief that we, because of our individual talents, are better than those who are not like us. The ego insists that our individual needs take precedence over another's, be it a loved one's or a stranger's. Worse, The ego fosters that a person who looks or thinks differently from us is dangerous because they threaten our own identity. Fear has brought us the troubles facing today's societies in politics, religion, cultural beliefs, families. The ego makes us feel so important that we need to dominate those around us through religion, intellect, class status, or in worst case, violence. And why does it do this? To keep our own beliefs alive and most of all, safe. Many times it's because we believe we know what's best. This behavior is why the soul has been completely subordinated by fear and the ego reigns in today's culture. The soul honors free will. The ego does not. So once more, what is the ego's motive? Plainly and simply to stay alive. And how does it stay alive? It rules us by fear. The ego creates insecurities, negative thinking, and shameful or angry thoughts which undermine our confidence, self-love, and the ability to take calculated risks. By dominating one's conscious mind, the ego remains completely safe. And the results? Lack of ambition, self-loathing, or its mirror opposites, conceit, suspicion, war, disease, poverty, pollution, greed, crime, illness, or surprise, surprise, the current state of much of today's world. Igniting the soul will cause the ego to quiet and return to its original intention of helping us discover our personal talents. The soul will tap the source of our talent with love, excitement, and generosity. There will be no fear that there isn't enough, or that someone will steal it, or criticize us, or instill shame. To celebrate each other's talents is to create the tapestry that is life on earth, perfect symmetry. Now, I'm not here to be a naysayer. There are so many wonderful things happening in the world today. But I also think that human evolution to soul thinking is manifesting itself in today's thinkers. The millennials, Generation X and Y ages, are creating innovative and environmentally conscious materials, machines, and jobs while fighting to keep the planet clean, while remaining progressive with new inventions and technology. Even baby boomers are seeing the errors of their generation and the generation before them, and they're instilling changes to technological advancements and being ecologically minded. I believe that younger generations are naturally becoming soul thinkers out of sheer need. I'm seeing soul thinking emerging more and more in small children and toddlers. All of the wonderful, awe-inspiring happenings in the world are coming from today's soul thinkers. And only, I'll bet, most of them don't even know that their soul is the corridor they are tapping to create these new world and humane solutions. Imagine if everyone consciously tapped into their soul for their thinking. The world would be perfect. We would achieve our personal perfection and get the chance to live our lives through perfection as was intended. I'll bet you can feel the truth to this even as you are listening. And that is your consciousness tapping into your soul. Your soul is a gift ready to serve at any age to accomplish every talent you discover you were born to share. Now, I know you may be thinking perfection is impossible. There's always something wrong somewhere. There are serial killers, warmongers, physical strife. Yeah, these exist now. But violence began with man's evolution. It was necessary then. We as a species have evolved. It is no longer necessary to attend the ego, which drove the behaviors that create evil. And I'm using evil as for lack of a better word. But I also want to point out, if you take the word evil and spell it backwards, do you know what you get? Live. I cannot believe that a warmonger could pull a trigger if they function from their soul. Soul thinking is the new evolution to bring about the world we all desire. Fearless, strong, successful, joyful, and exciting. I have so much more to say, but I have to end here. Let's talk some more in podcast 3. I want to discuss the power of trust and the ways to lovingly invite our egos to quiet down so that our souls can resonate. I want to talk about how fear traps free will, which is our freedom to choose that which is best for our growth and our welfare. You'll be surprised at how quickly your life changes for the better when you tap into soul thinking. I invite you to start now. Talk to your soul. Take a minute or even a few seconds to quietly sit and meditate on its existence. You will feel the contact. And no matter why or what your life condition, everything around you will improve merely by adjusting your perception. I'll have more of this discussion in our next podcast. Meanwhile, thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time from your busy life to listen to my thoughts. I hope this discussion either confirms or awakens the truth for you about the power of soul thinking in our lives and in our world. I welcome your comments or your questions. You can email me at soskathleenann@gmail.com. I promise I will answer. Until then, please take the time to see yourself and each other through the eyes of your soul. All you have to do is look. Bye for now.